Kia ora, I'm Andrew Whiteside, and today I'm talking with Kiwi comic Brendan Lovegrove. He has a new gig happening in mid-June 2021. We talk about that, but also about his career, his worst gig, and he shares something about his life that not many people know about. Brendan Lovegrove, nice to chat to you today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the Great Comedy Heist is coming up. It's two nights, and you're with Paul Ego, Justine Smith, Ben Hurley, all of you from 7 Days. Is this a 7 Days reunion or something? What brought you all together?
No, it's sort of a 40-plus age group that I've gone for here. It's all the people that I know and sort of grown up within comedy and obviously very established and really experienced and really good comics. And I don't really get the opportunity to gig with them that often. So it's nice that I'm able to get them all together, you know, some of the best comedians in New Zealand all together and one of the best venues in New Zealand. So it's really cool. I mean, I haven't been on 7 Days for a while, but obviously those three have. But I've been touring a lot, and it's just a really good opportunity to get together with, because I wouldn't normally gig too much with Paul Ego and Justine. So to have them all on the same bill is fantastic. You know, it's all, everyone on the bill's a headliner. So it's going to be great fun.
Now, you've been, I read somewhere you were described as being dangerously talented. Have you ever thought of yourself as being dangerous? Do you think you are?
I think I was probably a lot more risque when I was a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But instead of sort of tackling those issues anymore, I tend not to find them particularly interesting the older I get. I don't want to go out and just shock and freak people out. I'd rather just make them laugh and try and expand into a more just into areas of comedy I haven't done before, which are real punchline heavy, and you know, just trying to make sure my audience is having the best time possible.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? If you have a long term career, then I guess your comedy changes as your life changes as well, doesn't it? And different life stages you get into.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's like going through albums of your favorite bands, you know, and how different one album is to the other, unless of course you're Coldplay. I think my comedy's changed a huge amount, even in the last 5 years, let alone the last 10 to 20. I'm much more sort of joke savvy now. I like writing jokes. It's hard writing jokes. And it's the hardest thing has always been punchlining, but I enjoy the process of getting there and thinking about something and then, you know, pulling it apart and seeing what the fun is in it.
You're very confident on stage. Do you think that is a major part of delivering comedy? Because, I'm looking here, you're 10 times New Zealand Male Comic of the Year. That's a lot of pressure to keep that up. So do you think that the confidence plays a part of delivering and creating stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the confidence for any comic, first and foremost, comes from having really good material. You've got to have good material. But it takes a while for people to get their material right. But when they do, they become better performers on the back of the more laughs that they're getting, if that makes any sense. So I think when people say, how can I become a better performer? I'm like, well, just write really good jokes, because you'll perform far more confidently knowing what you're about to say is going to get a laugh, because you've done it before, it's tried, it's tested, it's honed, you've worked it, and you've worked it into a piece of magic, like a songwriter would write a song and a poet would write a poem. You know, you've written a what we call a gag or gear or material. And so you know, that's certainly the way I'm thinking about it.
Now, you obviously have had a hell of a lot of practice as you've been doing it for several years. I read again that you would do sometimes 2 to 3 gigs a night in the early days. Yeah,
It's pretty hard to do that in New Zealand, but I certainly was doing that overseas.
But you'd have to have a lot of stamina for that, man.
Well, when you think about it, you know, if you're doing 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, and 20 minutes there, you're only doing an hour. Most people have to work from 9 to 5. So it's not too bad. But it was interesting in London, because you'd be in Battersea doing a gig, and then you'd be off to Greenwich, and then you'd be off to Croydon. And it'll all be in a night, you know, you'd be doing 3 there. And that was good fun. So on a Friday and a Saturday, you'd be in tube stations. Your agent would be driving you around. And I loved it.
But that's very different than a 9-to-5 job where you're sitting at a computer at a desk. You know, that's a very, very different kind of life.
Oh, whenever I write, I think two things. I think, well, you know, this has to be funny, because the last thing you want to do is get a 9-to-5 job. And I'm also thinking that now that I'm 50, I have no plan B. So I have a certain set of skills that have to be sort of pointed towards comedy because it's too late for me to start a band or go to university. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you.
The horse has bolted, that ship sailed. So I have to be funny.
Could you bring some musical elements into the performances, you know, if you wanted to start a band? Just start, you know, shifting that across?
Well, I quite like musical comedy, and I see why people do it. I'd have to really sharpen my skills on clarinet. Because I haven't played it since I was about 12. I'm not sure how comedy clarinet would go.
Hey, now, obviously being a journalist, you know, trying to dig things out, I'm finding it really hard to find anything other than information on your gigs and where you've been. Now, you're not on social media, are you?
I'm not a huge fan of it, no.
Yeah, because you're not on Twitter.
My Facebook page is full.
But Instagram, Twitter?
No, I'm not. It's not really a thing that I'm not a huge fan of those mediums that I... For my sort of mental health, I tend to stay away from it.
Yeah, no, I hear. I just did wonder whether you were also a private person or maybe you had skeletons in your closet that you just thought, no, I'm not gonna say anything public about my private life, just in case, you know?
No, I think for me it's more that, my great passion is performing live, and I can see why a lot of young performers who are getting a lot of television exposure would want to go on Twitter and really get a fan base behind them. But I don't have that desire, and I don't have that need to get that audience. I've been going for so long now that I think my fan base is, you know, relatively secure. And every time I perform live, I always know that I'm seeing a certain percentage of people who've never seen me before. So I'm hoping then I'm capturing some of them as well. But I'm a big reader of nonfiction. And I like all that stuff, but I don't know whether I would call social media these days fiction or nonfiction. It's hard to, it's hard. And I find nonfiction funny because we've got a word for the non-truth for make believe, which is fiction, but we don't have a word for the opposite of that. We've just got not fiction, and I find that very strange.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, does that make any sense?
Yeah. No, it does, and I think. When you think about fake news and everything that's going on in the last few years, it's really hard to work out what is the truth or what is real, what is fiction, what's non-fiction.
I totally agree. I also think right at the top of the spectrum, when all of a sudden a list of facts come out, then you get all the people who are professionals and the top, you know, the top scientists and the top people, and they differ in their opinion of what those facts are. So they take the facts and then they interpret them in completely different ways, which is really odd. So, you know, it becomes a pressure for the expert I believe in is better than your expert.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's hard to know what the truth of the matter is when you get a series of facts and then those facts are interpreted in completely different ways. But it never ceases to be interesting.
There was one other thing I wanted to check in with you, and I watched one of your videos online where you described being at a gig and there was just your mother and a reviewer on stage. Now, is that true?
No.
Well, I wanted to then ask you, what was the worst moment you had on stage then?
Well, I mean, I've had so many. I was in Battersea. And doing a jungle's club, and there was an all abroad table, chairs, bottles, and it was just chronic. Rhys Darby was there coming to say hi and watch me, and it ended up being an all brawl, which can happen within seconds over in that part of the world, and you know you don't see it coming, and then warmth.
Was it something you'd said, or was it just people?
It was actually there was I was getting a little bit of negativity from the front row because a guy in this tracksuit with a skinhead was just looking at me doing the fingers, like just one finger up, and I was going, look at this, you know, this guy's pretty nasty. But then someone had a go at him, and then he had a go at them, and then someone threw a bottle, and then that missed it at the table over there, and then they threw bottles, and then the next thing you know, you're on stage going, stop that, and things become very unfunny.
One final thing, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but is there something that generally people don't know about you that you would like to share? Could be innocuous, it could be...
Only that I'm a granddad.
Wow.
Yeah, and not a lot of people don't know that, but I have a one-year-old grandson, and it's really cool because it's given me a new sort of perspective of life and growing old. You know, and what I love about it is that I do think about age and getting older, but when you get new little additions that you know who've literally in this world because of you, it's really exciting. So I'm very, very pleased and very, that's been a great thing in my life.
Well, congratulations on that. And presumably there'll be some comedy offerings from that as well, yeah?
Well, I'm hoping so, but it's very, they don't do a lot, babies, do they? So, but we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, well, really nice to talk to you. All the best for the great comedy heist, and nice talking to you.
Hey, thank you very much for letting me plug the show.
That was comedian Brendan Lovegrove. Now, please visit my website, andrewwhiteside.com, for more interviews and a whole load of really great content. While there, you can sign up for my regular newsletters, which are chock full of goodness. I am Andrew Whiteside. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you soon.